Today I'm Brave with Jeff Swarzentraub.
Friends, some of you are here today wondering, where's God? Just waiting for him. He already came. He came and he died on the cross for you. He shed his blood for you. He rose from the dead for you. So no matter what you've done, or no matter how wicked you think you are, no matter how much you think you don't belong, Jesus Christ wants to have a personal relationship with you.
Welcome to Brave, the Bible teaching ministry of Jeff Swarzentraub, founder and lead pastor of Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. Life can be confusing, and sometimes we make mistakes. Unfortunately, some of those mistakes can be costly. But that's why it's so important to follow the warning signs we have around us to help keep us away from going down the wrong road or making harmful decisions. And today on Brave, Pastor Jeff presents a few critical warning signs we receive from God, steering us away from some of the worst mistakes we could make. He's continuing a series in the book of Hebrews called The Greatest, where we're gaining a better understanding of the mighty, majestic character of God. And if you ever miss one of these programs on the radio, you can always listen at our website, bravemedia.online. But right now, let's join Pastor Jeff for this important message titled, Beware.
I'd like you to open up your Bible to Hebrews chapter 10, starting in verse 26. And as you turn there, we're going to read through this together, and then we'll unpack four ways that we're called to beware, four warnings to beware of. And the first is this, as we get into the text, beware, conscious, willful, intentional sinning has a consequence. After you know that Jesus Christ is Lord, after you know that he's substituted himself for you, after you know that he's made a way through his shed blood on the cross and that he's rose from the dead, after you know all that truth, and then you say, I reject it all, I want nothing to do with that. Here's what happens. He says, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins. This is talking about a group of people, they've heard the message. They have had every opportunity to be saved. They've had every opportunity to come to Christ. Maybe they've come close, maybe they haven't, but at some point in time, aware of all the truth, they've said, I reject the truth. For that person, that group of people, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but only terrifying judgment that will come. Beware, conscious, willful, habitual, over and over, I'll do whatever I want, whenever I want, however I want, does not enter the kingdom of God. That's what he's talking about. So the warning here is for those who have come close to Jesus, but aren't in Christ. The gospel is that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that so whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. If you believe Jesus died for your sin and you're willing to turn from your sin and turn to Christ and come to Christ, you can be saved and you can be saved to the full for all time. And his Holy Spirit will come in and indwell you. That's the good news. So it's a warning passage. It's encouraging you who are believers today. Yeah, thanks for reminding me of that. I want to stay on that path. It's telling some of you who are here who are kind of wavering, I don't know if today's the day. Hey, today's your day. And it might be telling some of you that are at a place where you're like, I don't know that I'm going to believe in Christ anymore. Hold on, you don't want to do that. That's the worst thing you could ever do. Beware. Conscious, willful, intentional sinning has a consequence. Number two is this. Beware. God is unmerciful to apostates. Now, you may not be familiar with the law of Moses, but when people broke the law of Moses, God's law, they died. This is God's law for Old Testament believers. Now, he's talking to a group of New Testament Jews who have come to Christ, and he's referring them back. He says, remember how severe it was under the Old Covenant when we sinned against God? How much more severe do you think this is going to be? Friends, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has not changed. And the author is saying, if you thought that was serious, how much more severe will it be when under the new covenant, here's what you've done. You've trampled the Son of God underfoot. That means this. After proclaiming or professing Jesus, you now reject Jesus as Lord and want nothing to do with him. Friends, I'm here to tell you, Jesus Christ is the only way and his blood is the only way to the Father. And when it's referring to the sacrifice of him, notice what it says here in the text. It says, as regarded as unclean, the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified. I think that he is talking to Jesus. Because in John 17, in verse 19, when Jesus was praying his high priestly prayer on the night he was betrayed, he says, "For their sakes I sanctify myself, that they themselves may be sanctified in the truth." That this sanctification is talking about what Jesus did to set himself apart so that we could be sanctified. And when they trample that underfoot, they're doing this third thing. They're insulting the Spirit of grace. The very Holy Spirit that convicted them of their sin and provided direction to Jesus and showed them the way, they rejected that. That's an apostate. Don't fear how you're going to die here. There's some bad ways you could go. But don't worry about that. Don't live in fear about that. But if you don't know Christ, you should be absolutely terrified, because even if you die in a peaceful way, it is going to be the most terrifying experience you've ever had. Apostates are people that have been raised in the church. Apostates are people that know the truth because they've been in church. You can't be an apostate if you don't know the truth. This is sobering. We should have on our hearts the standard of God's word and his holiness, and we should also have on our hearts the names of the people that we're praying for that are far from God, because God's love for them is so great. God is unmerciful to apostates. Don't ever forget that. He's merciful now. He's merciful now, but most people have this view of Jesus coming back and being, you know, calm, meek and mild, coming back and talking to us and having, you know, collaborative small groups to think about how we feel about the world and politics and all these different, that's not how he's coming back. He came the first time as humble servant. Friends, let me tell you, when he comes back, he's coming back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords to reign over the entire planet. Amen? And he is coming back for those who are eagerly waiting for him. For those who are not waiting for him, it's terrifying expectation of what's coming. I love you enough to tell you the truth. You've heard it, which means this, guess what? You're accountable. You're accountable. You run away from this truth, you're still accountable. You get up and leave right now, you're accountable. You go to sleep right now, you're accountable. Well, I'm never coming back here again, you're still accountable. You know the truth. Jesus Christ died for you. He rose for you. He's the only way to the Father, and you're accountable for knowing that. God is unmerciful to apostates. Let me tell you another one you need to be aware of. Beware that following God will cost you. Following God will cost you. Notice verse 32, "But remember the former days when after being enlightened, you endured a great conflict of sufferings, partly by being made a public spectacle through reproaches and tribulations, and partly by becoming sharers with those who were so treated." Here's what he's saying. Now listen real closely. Jesus said in John 16, 33, "In this world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I've overcome the world." I want to give you peace in the middle of tribulation. A lot of people falsely believe that when you come to Christ, everything's going to be great. Your finances are going to grow. If you're married, your marriage is going to grow. If you're single, you're going to find the person of your dreams. If you're married, you're going to have kids galore. You're always going to have the perfect job. Every day you wake up, it's just going to feel like, I can't believe how great my life is because I'm in Christ. Here's the reality. Because you're in Christ, the Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:12, anyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. You say, "Well, Pastor Jeff, I've been a Christian for like 5 years. Nobody's ever persecuted me." Open your mouth, start speaking about him and live it better, and they will. Open your mouth at work and tell people that Jesus Christ is the only way, and if you don't trust him, we know you're going to hell, and you need to repent. See if you don't experience a little bit of persecution. Try it at your school. See if you don't experience a little persecution. Try it outside the walls of this church and see if you don't experience the persecution. If you want to live for Jesus to the full, you will experience some hardship. And he's telling them, one of the signs that you're a believer is that you're experiencing some tribulation because you're a believer. Right? You're not doing anything wrong when you're suffering for knowing Christ. That's part of the package that comes along. So he tells them, "Hey, remember when you came to Christ, you suffered? You suffered greatly? You were kind of a reproach to all people, or that didn't happen to you, but you started partnering with people who are Christians, and then you became a reproach for partnering with them." So if God gave us everything we desired here, we would never yearn for him to come back. I mean, think about the parable of the soils for a moment. You got hard soil that's not able to receive the word. You got rocky soil that can receive it, but when persecution comes, it falls away. You realize persecution is part of the way God grows us? Now, we like to talk about the persecuted church over there. Persecuted church over in China. The persecuted church has never had problems growing. Persecuted church never has problems growing. In the last 2 years, when we experienced a little bit of persecution here, our church grew. I mean, tongue in cheek, I'm saying this, I'm kind of praying for the next pandemic to happen so that we can continue to explode the church, right? Because there's something about persecution that kind of weeds out those who really aren't and brings in those who are really hungry. It's an exciting church to pastor during persecution. God uses that in your life to see, are you going to fall away or are you being persecuted and making you stronger? God uses tribulations in our life to see, are you going to fall away or make that stronger? And then what about the thorny soil, the worries of the world, the wealth of the world, the desire for other things? God uses things in this world to say, hey, are you more committed to them or committed to me? It's not how much stuff you have, it's how much stuff has you. I mean, we like to look around and say, oh, they have so much stuff. Friends, I can show you people all over the world. I mean, every single person in here has more stuff than a lot of people I've met. You make more than $2 a month, you have a lot more than a large percentage of our world. We have a lot of stuff. We like to compare it to people that have more stuff than us, but you have a lot of stuff too. It's not how much you have. It doesn't have you. Because notice what it says here. After they endured these reproaches, I mean, they still were showing sympathy. It says, for you showed sympathy to the prisoners and accepted joyfully the seizure of your property, knowing that you have for yourselves a better possession and a lasting one. Showing love to the prisoners. Who are the prisoners? Those who were mistreated because of their faith in Christ, who were in prison. And in prison, they don't eat unless you bring them food. In order to bring them food, you got to associate with them and tell them, hey, the reason they're in jail is because they're a Christian, and the reason I'm bringing them food is because I'm a Christian too. I mean, that's partnering with people that are in need. That's associating with people that are hurting. I mean, we love it when people stand up and are bold and like, oh, love that guy. He's willing to tell anybody anything. We love that. Are you willing to stand with him and say, I associate with him? Not really. I mean, I love watching the podcast, though. It's really cool. God wants you to be bold. God wants you to be resolute. God wants you to be engaged. God wants you to do that. That's what he's sharing here. He says, beware. It'll cost you something. Now, the gospel doesn't cost you anything. I just want to be clear on that. Jesus Christ paid for everything. You don't owe anything to him to be saved. That is a free gift. But when you welcome that free gift in your life, the cost of being a disciple in Jesus Christ is going to cost you everything. And God uses all these circumstances in our life, oftentimes the ones we don't like, many times, as I'm learning as I get older, oftentimes the ones we can't explain and we don't have answers for, and nobody seems to have answers for, to grip our hearts and to show us, hey, just stay rooted in me. You're not going to know the answers on this side of heaven. You're not going to figure it out on this side of heaven. It's going to be hard for you until you get to, just trust me. That's what he uses to grow us, to see, are we still going to remain faithful even when things are challenging? And why? Because what's coming is greater. They said they welcome the seizure of their property. Would you welcome the seizure of your property in an unjust manner? I mean, we read through the book of Revelation in the last couple of years. There's coming a day where the government's going to seize your property and take it in an unjust way, unless you're going to give allegiance to the world dictator. And if you don't, they're going to take everything you have. And it won't matter whether you're a billionaire or a pauper, they're taking it all. Are you going to be okay to say, you go ahead and take it because I have a possession that's greater than anything I have in this world? That's what he's talking about. It's not what you have, it's what has you. Can you give it? Can you be generous? Can you hold? There's nothing wrong with having nice things. There's nothing wrong with enjoying the gifts God's given you, as long as you're not holding on to them as if they're your identity. If they were to be taken away tomorrow, you cool with that? Still have the same joy in the Lord? Or are you upset because now you don't have the same identity you used to have? He says, hey, look back, because following God has a price tag. It costs you. Now, the beauty of all this is this. When we get to heaven, you're going to have stories to tell, and you're going to hear other stories from people about all the hardship they endured that brought them there. There'll be nobody that you meet in heaven that's like, I don't know what you're talking about. I trusted Christ and here I am. I mean, unless they trusted Christ on their deathbed, that may be a possibility. But friends, you want to have stories that you're able to tell. You don't like them when they're happening to you. I never like them when they're happening to me. I have stories to tell, but all those things remind me of what's coming is so glorious, I won't even care anymore. We look backwards so that we can yearn for what we're looking forward to. And the reason we partner with other people in the church And we don't give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but all the more as we see the day approaching is because as we see other people hurting and we're helping them bind their wounds and then they're helping us do that, we as a family of God are getting closer to that day. And it's awesome. And that day's coming soon. But make no mistake about it, beware, because following God will cost you. And I'm not talking just you individually, I'm talking us as a church. That's why we're called to support one another, build up one another. If you've truly trusted Christ, then you love other people in a radical way. So their problem is now what? It's your problem. Bear one another's burdens and thus fulfill the law of Christ. This person I know is hurting, guess what? I'm hurting. This person's struggling, then I'm struggling. We're family. That's what grows your faith. You cannot live the gospel on your own and be the fullness of what Christ wants you to be. You can't live apart from the church and be what Christ wants you to be. Get connected. Following Christ will cost you. Let me give this final one. Beware, endurance is the essential ingredient to Christianity. Endurance is essential to Christianity. It's essential. Now, you'll see this word endurance all the time in your Bible. It might say endurance. It might say steadfastness. It might say perseverance. It's a Greek word, hupomene. It means to remain under. Like picture a heavy weight on your back or pressing in your front and back. Like it's just squeezing. You're like, I would do anything to get out of this right now. I hate my life circumstance. Hey, that's endurance. Stay the course. Remain under it. We need endurance to follow God. You know what endurance means? It means you're going to get knocked down in life. It means you are going to have hard times in your walk with Christ. It means circumstances are going to unfold for you that you don't like. There are going to be times where you feel so weighted down, you won't even know what to do, and people around you won't know what to do to help you. That's what it means. So keep on walking when those things happen. Don't you ever give up. That's what he's saying. You keep praying, and you keep walking. Notice what the text says. Verse 35, therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. Confidence is the word parousia. It means boldness. Being brave stands for boldness. It's courage. Do not throw away your courage. Don't back up. Don't give ground to the enemy. Don't worry about what people outside the church are saying. Stand firm and be bold because a great reward is coming. As Christians, I say it all the time, your greatest days are ahead of you. I promise you, if you're a born-again believer, your greatest days are ahead of you. We can high-five a billion years from now and you'll say, Pastor, you were right. Greatest days are ahead of us. For you have need of endurance. We have need of it. We have need of it so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. In order to make it to the end, you need endurance. If you're a believer, God's going to give you the grace to endure. And if you're a believer, you're going to partner with God with that grace to make it all the way to the end. He who perseveres to the end will be saved. You say, well, how do I know if I'm going to persevere? If you're a Christian, God will give you the grace to get there. And if you get there, then you know God gave you the grace because you were a believer. And when we cross that finish line, when we cross it, it's going to be like, yes! There'll be nothing on this planet that you are living for in this moment of vapor that is any greater than what you have coming for you. What's coming is awesome. What's coming is fantastic. Notice what he says. He quotes Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, for in a very little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. I tell you when Jesus is coming back. I've been clear from this from the time we started the church. You know when? Soon. Very soon. One day soon is going to mean a lot to you. But I know I'm telling you the truth. He's coming and we're seeing it approach quicker. He will not delay, but my righteous one shall live by faith. That means keep on faithing until you see him. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me and my words, I'll be ashamed of you when I come. Don't shrink back. Don't shrink back. Don't turn the other way. Don't get this close to the gospel and then go. If you're that close to the gospel and you're not in Christ, make today the day you trust Christ. If you're in Christ, keep seeking Christ. Keep walking the narrow way. And then he talks to the believers. He's like, but we are not of those who shrink back to destruction, believers, are we? We're not going to do that. But of those who have faith to preserving of the soul. We're not going to shrink back. If you're a believer, you're not going to shrink back. Now, we at times as believers, I mean, we have little seasons in our life, days, moments, sometimes a little week where we're in sin and we, you know, all this kind of stuff. But then conviction hits us and I'm like, I'm not living here anymore. I'm coming back. I got to get right with God. This is wrong. I don't feel joy on the, I need Jesus back. We all have that. We're not gonna shrink back. All of us are gonna have moments we stumble. All of us will have moments that we feel like we're gonna fall on our face. All of us will have those things, but true believers are gonna keep on walking and keep on walking and keep on walking and keep on walking. And when you cross the finish line, I promise you, in glory, it'll be a great thing. What's coming is better than anything that we can experience here. Look forward to what's happening. I remember hearing a story from a pastor several years ago about when he took his sons fishing. They were out on the dock, and his 10-year-old was there with his 3-year-old, and he told the 10-year-old while he went back into the shed, he said, "Hey, watch your brother. I'll be right back." And he went into the shed to get some equipment to take out in the boat, and all of a sudden, he heard a splash, and he heard his 10-year-old son yell, "Dad!" And father turned around, and he couldn't see his 3-year-old son, and the 10-year-old's like, "He fell in." And so he started sprinting back to the dock and dove in looking for his 3-year-old son, and he couldn't see him anywhere. Water was murky, couldn't find him, was holding his breath as long as he could, came up for air, said, "I'm going back down, I'm gonna find my son even if I have, this is the last breath I ever breathe." Starts swimming around, finally feels his son who is clinging to the post underneath the dock. And he pulls his son up, and both of them are gasping for breath, and they're laid out on the dock, and they can't even talk to each other. And after about 5 minutes, when they're all coming to and they're able to breathe, the father said to his 3-year-old, "What in the world were you doing down there holding onto the post?" He said, "Dad, I was just waiting for you. I knew you'd come." Friends, some of you are here today wondering, where's God? Just waiting for him. He already came. He came and he died on the cross for you. He shed his blood for you. He rose from the dead for you. So no matter what you've done, or no matter how wicked you think you are, no matter how much you think you don't belong, Jesus Christ wants to have a personal relationship with you. Friends, it's the most important message I share as a pastor because all of us are terminal. There's coming a day, we don't know when that day is, but there's a day that's coming. Hang in there. It's worth doing the right thing. It's worth waiting for. Because Jesus Christ is really Lord. Can you welcome that warning passage into your life? Can you hear it as love from God for you? If you're a believer, it should remind you, hey, stay on the path. The world may say you're silly. The world may say you're stupid. The world may say you're irresponsible, but you're doing it right. Keep going. If you're a non-believer here and you've been thinking about the truths of God, he's saying, hey, make today the day of your salvation. Allow Jesus to be the Lord of your life. And perhaps for some of you that are right at the precipice of saying, "I'm done with Jesus." He's saying, "You came today because this is your final warning. Don't go the way of the cliff. Turn and come to me."
You're listening to Brave, the Bible teaching ministry of Jeff Schwarzentraub. Today's message is titled Beware, and if you need to catch up on other lessons from our current study in Hebrews called The Greatest, visit bravemedia.online. And as we step into 2023 and think of all that's ahead, we just want to say how thankful we are for you, our listening family. We pray these daily Bible teachings help you in your walk of faith and continue to strengthen your relationship with Christ. As we begin this new year, we invite you to help other listeners find the same biblical encouragement by supporting Brave with a one-time donation of any amount. You can give your financial gift today and help bring the good news of Jesus Christ to new listeners by clicking the Donate tab at bravemedia.online. Again, that's at bravemedia.online. If you'd rather send a check in the mail, you can do that as well. Write to us at Brave Church, 3651 South Colorado Boulevard, Englewood, Colorado, 80113. Again, our mailing address is Brave Church, 3651 South Colorado Boulevard, Englewood, Colorado, 80113. And before we end today, we'd like to invite you to be part of our weekend services here at Brave Church. If you live near the Denver area, make plans to visit our campus in Englewood, or if you're closer to Westminster, our location there. Or simply join us right from home by going online for our live stream. For details, visit bravemedia.online, scroll to the bottom of the page, and click the button that says Brave Church. Another great way to connect with the Brave Church community is by liking and following us on social media. You'll find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and there are several different ways to get involved no matter where you live. Just search for Brave Church Denver, then click the like or follow button. I'm your host, Bill Carl, and we'll see you next time right here on Brave with Jeff Schwarzentraub. Today's program was produced and furnished by Brave Church in Denver, Colorado.